The National Broadcasting Company presents Analog.
My name is Archie Richmond, and I work with the Boy Scouts of America in religious services. I more or less serve as the assistant director of religious services with special emphasis on Protestant churches.
And my name is Howard Gibbs. I'm the director of the National Program Department for the Boys Clubs of America. This organization is primarily interested in boys in the inner city, and it's my responsibility to help develop programs to share them with clubs all over the country.
For the last 3 years, I have worked both urban areas as well as some of the suburban areas of our country. I work mainly with inner city councils for 2 years in developing innovative programs and methods and ways of training and serving adults who work with boys in the inner city areas. For the last 6 months, I have worked primarily with churches throughout the country. So I've had a variety of experience in working with some of these suburban institutions as well as inner city. But our primary concern this day and time is that we serve a representative one-third of all boys in America. Just not concentrate on the areas where it's easy to recruit, it's easy to get boys into the Boy Scout program, but in areas where there are some minor problems and difficulties in areas where boys are looking for opportunities to belong to organizations such as the Boy Scouts of America, Boys Club, and so forth. So it is our experience in working in areas like this that the youth of our country, the boys who, in quotes sometimes we call bad boys, really want something that they can identify with and hang on to, so to speak. What is your experience in this area?
Well, I'm interested in you using the term bad boys because I know there's been sort of a cliche that mm-hmm. there is no such thing as a bad boy. Mm-hmm. Actually, this isn't true. There are some very disturbed youngsters. There are some boys who are in difficulty. There are boys whose home life has been so lousy that they are in difficulty. They're the ones who begin to use the drugs very early in life. They're the ones that most youth organizations shy away from. They're the dropouts from school. They're the pushouts from school. They're those whom nobody seems to care for. And this is a group which historically and currently boys' clubs are particularly interested in. We would like to concentrate on serving unserved boys and motivating unmotivated boys and teaching the untaught boys. As I said, historically, this is the way we started, and currently this is where we like to continue our expansion. This is not to say that there aren't youngsters who need the same kinds of help in suburban communities. We find that although we started out being 100 years ago in the slums, some of our biggest interest in starting boys' clubs happens to be in suburban communities where there's more likely these days to be delinquency and where there's just as serious a drug problem. So a disadvantaged youngster can be from an overindulged family as well as from an indigent one, and I assume this has been your experience too.
Well, yes, it is true.
Have you run into boys' clubs? We've been trying to have Boy Scout troops in boys' clubs for many, many years. And have you run across boys' clubs in your travels?
Quite frequently. In fact, there are very few field trips that I make that I don't call on the local boys' clubs in the inner city areas especially. And I guess you may correct me if I'm wrong, about half of the boys' clubs of America sponsor Boy Scout troops.
I wish it were that many. It's not quite that many, but we'd like to have more scout troops in our clubs.
For the last 3 years, we've sent about 103,000 non-scouts from the urban areas of our country to summer camp. These are boys, of course, that are not quite old enough sometimes to be scouts, or even if they're old enough, they have not had this kind of interest to join Boy Scout units. Mm-hmm. But we recruited them through settlement housing officials and community centers and other inner-city agencies and organizations that work with boys and young people. And through them, we recruit them to take them to summer camp for 1 week or sometimes 2 weeks. And it's amazing the experience that they have. And it's been our understanding and records will indicate that three-fourths of these boys, once they have been to summer camp for 1 week, come back home and join the Boy Scout troop nearest camp. It's been fantastic. I think it has helped tremendously to let people know that we are reaching some of the boys that we maybe should have been reaching 10 years ago.
No, I'm interested in this particularly, although we have horrendous strides yet to make in the area of helping people, particularly blacks and whites, get along better together. I've been tremendously concerned recently about what seems to be a rise in certain new discriminations. For example, I think there is plenty of evidence that we're not only discriminating sometimes against youth, but particularly against boys. I know that in many boys' clubs, we have as high as 65% of the youngsters are without fathers. Therefore, one-parent families, which is the mother, they go to a school where most of the teachers are women. And unless they have some organization like the Boy Scouts or the Boys Clubs, which gives them some male figure to help them, the chances are that that they are not exposed to the possibilities of becoming a well-adjusted, functioning male animal. And perhaps this is one of the strongest reasons for the Boy Scouts and the Boys Clubs and organizations which try to concentrate on making up for some of the lacks of male influences in families. And in suburban communities, it can be the commuting father who gets home in time to tuck the kids in bed and leaves in the morning on the 7:02 before they're even up. So I don't know whether you've had any impressions the same way or not. But
Well, this is very true. I came in scouting at the age of 24. I wasn't a Boy Scout. I was principal in elementary school at a particular time and was recruited by 40 boys, not men, to become their scoutmaster. And it was a very growing experience for me. I found out that I really didn't know the boys who were in my classroom. I taught the seventh grade. I was teaching principal, and I really didn't know them in the former setting of the classroom. I never got to know them as I did when I became their scoutmaster. Mm-hmm. But in the outings and the activities that we participated in, when they could just look upon me as a good buddy, so to speak, but with a great deal of respect, they opened up and talked about some of the problems that disturbed them. About half of them were fatherless boys. And I was so very much concerned. I said, well, if scouting or any other youth activity of this nature can really reach into the inner recess of the hearts of minds of boys and get them to reveal themselves and maybe understand each other better, that I think more boys should have the privilege to belong. And I made a kind of a commitment, you know, how you do occasionally get carried away emotionally, that if ever the opportunity presented itself for me to open doors, that more boys should have at least the privilege.
Because all boys, converted to Boy Scouts.
Yes, all the boys may not want to belong, but at least the privilege or opportunity to belong, that I would do my best. And I kind of regret that nobody offered me the opportunity when I was growing up, you know.
Well, you know, I see this getting away from either scouts or boys' clubs. I see this in another aspect of my family life. I'm superintendent of a Sunday school of a church here in New York City. And there, and also in the school where my children go, I've run across a number of boys who have no fathers at home. And so on Sunday afternoon, I've got this little gang of kids that I get together, and with my son, who's 11, we go swimming. I've borrowed the keys to a boys' club here in New York City, the Madison Square Boys Club on 29th Street, and we have the pool to ourselves on Sunday. But it becomes very obvious to me that these youngsters are starved, and it may be Freudian slips, but the number of them that will slip out and call me dad or daddy or have some even overt need for a pat on the back or affection, which is what they're not getting in school or at home because there's no father kind of figure there. I'm sure that that many organizations, and not just the Scouts and the Boys Clubs, are realizing today that the era of the fun and games mm-hmm. for many youngsters is is long past, particularly boys who are in inadequate homes and inadequate schools need something which is really, and I know it's an overused word, but is something really more relevant to what's happening in our world. And you realize the Boys Club is a building-centered program. We have our own buildings in about 850 communities around the United States. And it used to be that the bulk of the program was physical activity. It was a gymnasium, it was a swimming pool, it was a games room. And these are still there, and they're somewhat bait. But we know that a boy comes to a Boys Club for these kinds of activities, but that he really benefits, and he really returns, and he stays in membership because of the people who are there on our staffs and volunteers and boards. And we also know that these days they want help, remedial reading, tutoring. They want cultural enrichment programs. They want a whole gamut of activities, which, as I said, are no longer just the fun and games thing. And I suppose this is healthy. We want to prepare our youngsters to use, for example, public recreation and to know how to play and how to be good sports and how to take care of their bodies and how to recognize the dangers of smoking and the use of drugs, which is a pervading problem these days in many cities, and not just in the slums, but in suburbs as well. And I suppose that the reason why there's a change in organizations like yours and mine is because we have a whole generation of youngsters for whom change is the natural thing. And what we used to have no longer attracts.
You're quite right. For instance, we feel it's just as practical or more practical now for a boy to take a 5-mile historical hike in a city. Because many boys don't have the privilege and opportunity to get more than from 10 or 12 blocks from where they live. So if they go on a historical hike, visiting some of the places in their own backyard, so to speak, it's much more meaningful to them sometime than to perhaps a 5-mile hike in the...
I remember the 17-mile I had to take when I was a Boy Scout. Do you still have to do that?
No, you have to take the 10-mile.
You have to take a 10-mile hike.
Yes.
I wouldn't make it these days.
Oh, really?
Many of our boys' clubs have tried to use what, and you use different terms. You use the detached worker, you use the street gang worker, the street club worker, the neighborhood community organizer. But we've recognized that many youngsters, particularly those who are dropped out of school, feel that an organization that's in a building for kids, in quotes, is square. It's not for them. And we have found in many cases that it's necessary to have different kinds of storefront programs or mobile programs and trailers going out. The Scouts have done some of this. I heard about some in Cincinnati recently. It's a great taking of programming outside to where youngsters are rather than expecting them to come in. Although I must be frank to say, and I'm sure there are differences of opinion in your organization like there is in ours, I don't think there's any substitute for youngsters themselves saying to each other and spreading the word around in their grade school and in their high school about what a boys' club does or what the Scouts do. And I'm not so sure that any adult can really sell the idea of joining as much as he can sell the idea of himself as a person who cares for them, and that the Scouts or the Y's or the Settlements or the boys' clubs, the girls' clubs, are interested adults who want to do something and want to help them.
Well, this is
true. But I don't think you can use salesmanship on this, I think.
No, I think the boys themselves are our best salesmen, because if they get an interest in their worthwhile program, they're going to come back and keep on coming back. They're going to tell all the boys about it. They're going to bring their buddies and pals with them. And I think it's this natural gang, as you said, that develops automatically, that all of us like to be a part of groups, and boys are part of gangs and groups, and when they know that they participate in a program that helps them to grow and develop, they will tell others about it. For instance, in Philadelphia, the way that the council has helped in this respect has been to organize in every block a patrol of boys in Boy Scouting, a den of boys in Cub Scouting, and recruit from the same block one later to work with the Cub Scouts, one or more, and the same with one man or more to work with the patrol. And this kind of activity has spread in this section of Philadelphia where they never thought the scouting would work, and it's been very successful, and it's a worthwhile passing along and talking with others about it. And so much so until they anticipate in 1970 doing twice as much in this area. I still think that we have so much to do in order to serve a larger percentage of boys. We're serving a much greater percentage, sure, in inner city than we've ever served before. But I'm always mindful of the ones that we are not reaching, the young people who are out there, and I guess through the lack of resources sometimes, none of the organizations has done the job that, that you could really say that we've done our best, you know?
Yeah, I hear sometimes about competition among, among youth organizations, and I presume that there are some youngsters who are joiners, who belong to things in their grade school and their high school. They belong to some of the organizations sponsored by fraternal organizations. But by and large, our studies have shown that children get different things from different experiences. And they may have a small group experience in a Boy Scout, one of which might be the Boy Scouts, one might be a science club, and they might get something entirely different from what they're getting in school. As a matter of fact, we have a statement on what's different about a boys' club. And one of the things we say in it is that a boy should get something in his experience in a boys' club which is significantly different from what he gets elsewhere if we're going to justify spending our lives this way.
And I think we began to see this. Most national organizations, they work so closely together in these areas. I know the Girl Scouts and the ALBA Contemporary Explorers work an awful lot together, because you're talking about a program for older young men and young ladies in Contemporary Explorer. And they find that they can do an awful lot with the Girl Scouts, with the Campfire Girls and other youth organizations.
We've had a number of studies and then have tried to do something about the situation, which would indicate that in some communities where there are youth organizations and not a boys' club, that the boys who may most need the help are the boys who don't belong to any youth organization. The boys who are most likely to be the school dropouts, or as I use the term, the pushouts from school because they're so difficult in school, are not members of any organized, whether it's religious or voluntary organization. And it seems to me that if your youngsters and mine can benefit from the Boys Club and the Scouts and the Y's and the church groups, that these youngsters who come from broken homes, where there is no encouragement to stay in school and go on to something else, that these are the boys that some way or other organizations have got to seek out to make sure that we're not missing them. You know, it's always very embarrassing in a way for a man to admit this, but we've been doing some studies recently about the special needs of boys. And I assume that if I worked for the Girls Club, as a matter of fact, I've suggested this to the Girls Club of America, because there are some significant differences in the behavior patterns and the growth patterns of boys and girls. And it makes a big difference in our program. For example, most of the youngsters who drop out of school are boys. Most of the youngsters who are admissions to mental hospitals for the first time are boys. Most of the suicides among adolescents are boys. I can go through a list of 50 characteristics of the difference in the maturation level of boys and girls, of the interest in boys and girls, and therefore the need for certain kinds of special programming, particularly for boys 15 and under. Once you get 15 and 16, if you don't have co-educational programs, or as my son calls them, co-sexual programs, unless you have co-recreational programs, you're not meeting the needs of either boys or girls.
Well, this is our Contemporary Explorer program. As you probably know, a boy can become an explorer if he's 14 and in the ninth grade, or 15 regardless to the grade, even if he's a dropout. A lot of emphasis is placed now on co-ed activities. And this has stimulated an unusual lot of interest, because they do have a lot of concerns. On the other hand, we have shifted some of the emphasis toward specialized post-activities that young people are participating in, vocational opportunities and interests that of activities that may lead eventually toward job opportunities once they go through these type of special vocational interest activities that the Explore posts are conducting. And we have the very best of resources, industry and business, and other people who throw their resources in this direction once they know that young people are interested in certain skills or activities or vocation. And has meant a lot in the last year, especially, that we have done an awful lot of work for the older young men and young ladies in the Explore program.
Your Explorer program has its counterpart in boys clubs and what we call our Keystone clubs.
This is interesting.
They're new. They're really new in name because the concept of boys planning for themselves, because the name of the game these days particularly is involvement, and you become interested in something and a disciple of something if you have your say in it. And where do people learn how to be involved and how to get into community affairs and how to vote? And the concept of voting and the habit of voting, unless they begin as youngsters. Our Keystone Clubs are service-oriented programs for high school-age boys with the reason for being together, doing something for others.
You and I know that boys can belong to boys clubs and Boy Scout troops regardless of what family income bracket they happen to be at this particular point in their life's history. But there are so many people who feel that boys can't belong to Boy Scout troops because they don't have money. I can tell you some of the ways in which we do assist them, and we feel that no boy should be turned away because he's poor, because he doesn't have money. And I imagine that you would have, just to a certain extent, not that I've heard it, but in you working with youth also, that you would have a few parents and guardians who feel that their boys can't belong to Boys Club because of the financial side of it. Is this true?
Not really. Our dues, historically and philosophically, have been low. They run from as low as 25 cents a year for what we call our midgets, who are our little boys, to $1 a year for high school age boys. And the reason for this is not because there are not some boys in some communities who couldn't afford more, although in the inner cities particularly, the boys can't afford. But we don't want to put anything in the way of encouraging a youngster to join. We want to make it as easy a place to get into and as hard a place to get thrown out of as possible.
Yes.
We want to make it a place where there are no kinds of barriers. Because sometimes the youngster who may need us most may be the youngster who is least willing to shell out money and may come from a home where the parents won't do it. But this, I think, is more a historical thing than anything else. There was a psychological business that every boy must pay something.
Yes.
But not so much as to be an impediment to joining. But,
well, one of the ways in which we try to assist in this area is it's a boy who needs a uniform. We usually know of business people or professional people or places where there are experienced uniforms, and this is not just for the poor boy. Any boy can go and get experienced uniforms. That because a boy grows out of his uniform rapidly, maybe within 6 months or a year, it's a perfectly good uniform that can be clean, and through women's group they are kept in order that boys who want to get uniforms can do so. So they have the option sometimes to get a new uniform or an experienced uniform. We try to make this known in all of our urban areas that these types of facilities and opportunities are there for boys to get their uniforms, so that parents won't say that they can't afford the uniforms that Boy Scouts have to wear. A boy doesn't have to have a uniform, but usually at Boy Scout age, they do want uniforms. At Cub Scout age, they want uniforms. And Explorer, for the young men now, is altogether different. They don't want to be identified often with uniforms. Either they will come up with their own design, their own identification, so far as uniforms are concerned. Well, what is the direction you feel for the Boys Club now? Is there any a particular theme or area of interest that they are concerned about most? You mentioned inner city from the very outset, but
well, this has been historical. I think probably we're doing more thinking about the fuller utilization of this boys' club building, which can range all the way from a small couple of rooms on the island of Nantucket, where it's the only full-time youth organization in existence, to buildings in New York and Chicago and San Francisco, which are big buildings with all sorts of physical facilities and cultural facilities and library, cultural centers, and so forth. I suspect we're going to have to find more ways to utilize these buildings in cooperation with other organizations. So I suspect there are all kinds. We have a program in which we recognize innovative and creative programs, and we just published a book on 100 Boys Club tested programs for disadvantage. And they do range this whole gamut of new services meeting needs of boys, because there is no program for a Boys Club that comes from the national headquarters. We try and have the Boys Club program geared to the boys we're serving in a particular community.
You have been listening to Analog, a radio series we present in cooperation with the National Conference of Christians and Jews. Our guests today were Archie Richmond, Assistant Director, Relationships Division, Boy Scouts of America, and Howard Gibbs, Director of the National Program Department of the Boys Club of America. On each of these analog broadcasts, we have asked the participants to share something with us that has guided them and might be considered food for thought. Today, Howard Gibbs cited John Dewey's words, "That which the most enlightened parent wants for his child is what all of us in society should want for all children." And Archie Richmond quoted from The Unfinished World by Alan Stockdale, "God could have finished the world, but he didn't. He left it like Twisty in the clouds. He left the oil in Trenton Rock. He left the diamonds uncut. He left the bridges unbuilt and the laboratories unopened. He left the music unsung and the drama unplayed. He left all these things undone that we might not become bored in life, but enter full into his creation." Fred Facey speaking. This recorded program, produced by Rhoda Grady and directed by Jeffrey Culliver, has been an NBC Public Affairs presentation.
This is the NBC Radio Network.